Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Good Luck India Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call hosted by Captify Consulting. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vinay Pandit from Captify. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Captify Consulting Investor Relations team, I welcome you all to the Q1 FY27 post-earnings conference call of Good Luck India Limited. Today, from the management team, we have with us Mr. M.C. Garg, Chairman, Mr. Raham Agarwal, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Sanjay Bansal, Chief Financial Officer. I would now request the management to brief us about the business and performance highlights for the completed quarter, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to the management team.
Hello, this is M.C. Garg. Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to the Q1 FY27 earnings conference call of Good Luck India Limited. Thank you all for joining us and for your continued trust and support. FY27 has started on a strong note, and I'm pleased to say that transformation of Good Luck India is becoming increasingly visible in our financial performance and business profile. Over the past few years, we have been consciously moving towards becoming a diversified engineering-led company with a greater focus on value-added, technology-driven, application-specific products. Today, our presence spans defense, aerospace, infrastructure, renewable energy, transmission, railways, automotive, construction equipment, and other industrial applications. This diversification is making our business more resilient while improving the quality of our earnings. Q1 performance reflects this progress. Revenue grew strongly, while profitability grew sustainably faster, supported by better product mix, higher utilization, and operational efficiencies. A particularly important development is the emergence of defense and equipment as a new growth engine. We have invested in this business with a long-term view, and recent order inflows and regulatory approval demonstrate the progress we are making. We also continue to see strong structural opportunities in renewable energy, transmission infrastructure, and railways, both in India and international markets. Our export business is another important pillar of our progress. We serve customers across more than 100 countries. We continue to expand our global footprint despite the challenging international trade. Going forward, our priorities are clear: scale the defense business, increase the contribution of value-added engineering products, execute our domestic and international order book, improve capacity utilization, and maintain disciplined capital allocation. We believe the investment made over the last few years is creating multiple growth engines for Good Luck India. Our objective remains to build a stronger, more diversified, higher-quality engineering company capable of delivering sustainable growth and superior long-term value for all our stakeholders. With these remarks, I would now like to invite our CEO to take you through the operational performance in greater detail. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. This is Raham Agarwal. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Q1 FY27 was a strong quarter operationally and demonstrates the progress of our strategy with 31% revenue growth, 46% EBITDA growth and 67% PAT growth with EBITDA margins above 10% mark. The key takeaway is that profitability is growing significantly faster than revenue, reflecting better product mix, capacity utilization, and operational efficiencies. On the volume side, standalone volume has increased 8.8% YOY to 122,718 metric ton, while annualized capacity utilization remains strong at 98%. The most significant operational development during the quarter was the acceleration of our defense business and has emerged as an important growth driver. Goodluck Defense and Aerospace Limited received an order of rupees 255 crore for 155mm long range ready-to-fill empty shells to be executed over 10 months. In addition, it received an order of rupees 52 crores for 20,155mm shell with execution over 3 months. The near-term focus is now on converting these orders into production and deliveries while maintaining the stringent quality requirements applicable to defense products. Goodluck Defense has also received DGQA Quality Assurance Certificate for 107 ready-to-fill artillery shells. This strengthens our quality qualification for future opportunities. As I have earlier said also, despite all the headwinds, your company has been successful in wading through the choppy waters. Today, energy, mobility, and defense are the pillars around which total global economy is moving around. Your company is well connected to these sectors which are supporting these pillars. We talk of energy. We need infrastructure to support energy. Power generation. We are making solar support structures for fixed and tilt boat types to support renewable energy. In this energy deficient atmosphere, solar is supporting India to continue its stride to the future. Against 500 gigawatt non-fossil energy, 300 gigawatt has already been achieved. Out of which 164 gigawatt solar we have achieved so far. 55 gigawatt added in last year only. That this data shows only that there is a great market available for our solar products. We are presently serving 30% plus market share of this sector. To transmit this energy across the states, we are making transmission line towers to the tune of 50,000 tons every year. And to give power to the last mile, making substation structures. This sector likely to grow by 50% in next 2-3 years. A road network, a pillar for the mobility, and a railway network is required to happen this all. We are in road bridges, road safety barriers, and in rail routes. We are making steel railway bridges and recently completed bullet train project from Ahmedabad to Mumbai. We see a 100% growth in this sector in coming 3-4 years. To combat West Asia volatility, to ease gas and petroleum product, government has recently announced 80,000 crore incentive scheme to drill and transport oil. It needs new refineries, new oil blocks, new transfer lines. Your company's forging division is a major supplier to all type of flanges, whether in the subsea or over the ground. Whether it is SS, alloy or critical material, we are there, not only domestic but globally as well, like ADNOC, Saudi Aramco or any name you call. The future is waiting for this product. We see almost 60% growth in the next 3-4 years in this particular sector. Automobile is the area which defines current urban and rural India. Two-wheelers, four-wheelers, light motor vehicles, EVs, every item needs a special structure which are light in weight but having same toughness and durability as the alternate like seamless tube. Sector needs no introduction. July has seen the peak production of four-wheelers. Your company is present in a very specialized tube sector, CDW. In America, it is drum tubes, construction tubes, hydraulic tubes. Recently developed 245mm OD into 17mm size for hydraulic tube, which is an alternate to seamless tube, being imported till today. We all will agree that world is passing through destruction by way of different wars, and every destruction future is construction. That is the reason US is still procuring these special tubes even after 50% duty. We see a big opportunity in this segment. Right now we are doing almost 1000 crore plus turnover in this product, and we would like to double it in coming 4-5 years. And now we talk of an interesting sector, defense, which has originated from our forging vertical. As wars are going on and many new wars are on the verge of eruption, mistrust and expansion of territories by world power is leading the world in an unknown territory. Friends and allies are turning foes. Not to talk of Russia, Ukraine or Israel, Hamas or US, Iran, many new fronts are likely to open. US withdrawal from world scene has given anxiety to 27 European countries. Continuing Iran attacks on Middle East has given birth to new NATO, Saudi, Turkey, Pakistan. Depleting US stock also sends shivering to the spine of its allies. What is the solution? Rearmament is the only solution. Rearm Europe for 815 billion euro in next 5 years. Rearm Gulf, and the new one is replenish US. India is racing against time to acquire new technologies, scaling up of marketing product, military production, boosting up exports to earn foreign exchange. We have touched 38,000 crore defense export. Your company is available in this field. We have established a production of 150,000 shells of M107 and EIFV. Its latest version, now technology is moving at the speed of light. So our R&D team is continuously working on future technologies of munition. We want to become a reliable and precision supplier of fully RTU shells in future. Aerospace is another part where we will be putting capacity to become the part of ecosystem. India is lacking badly. Apart from MCAR, C-295, now part of Rafael is likely to be manufactured in India. A supplier ecosystem is a need of time. In all, company aims to achieve 300 crore to 350 crore target this year within marked EBITDA of 30 to 35%. Future plans are ready and soon we will embark on execution of same. Looking ahead, our focus for FY27 will be on four key areas: ramp up of defense production, execution of defense order book, increasing contribution of value-added products, including ramp up of hydraulic tubes division, and continued growth in domestic and international infrastructure and transmission business. We remain confident of delivering healthy growth in revenue and profitability during FY27, supported by our strong order pipeline, optimum capacity utilization, and increasing contribution from the defense and specialized engineering business. At the same time, we will remain focused on cost discipline, operational efficiency, and prudent capital allocation. We believe Good Luck India is well positioned to build on this movement through FY27 and beyond. With this, I would like to conclude my opening remarks and request Mr. Bansal to give the details of the financials.
Good morning. I, Sanjay Bansal, CFO, on behalf of Good Luck, welcome you all for joining us for the conference on performance of the company in Q1 of financial year 27. Regarding Q1 performance standalone, the income from operations was at ₹1,205.94 crores as against 983.29 crores during Q1 of previous year. However, EBITDA for the quarter increased by 15%, stood at 110.53 crores as against 95.78 crores. Profit after tax, including other comprehensive income, was 49.66 crores in Q1 of FY27 as compared to 40.14 crores in Q1 of 2026. The earning per share has been at ₹14.94 per share in Q1 27, as against ₹12.62 during Q1 of previous year. Performance consolidated during Q1 of FY27 was again very good. Total income increased by 31% at ₹1,287.44 crores as compared to ₹983.29 crores during Q1 of previous year. EBITDA was 139.66 crores as against 95.80 crores. Registered an increase of 46%. PAT during Q1 of current year was 67.22 crores, registering a growth of 67% on year-over-year basis. Earnings per share stood at ₹19.13 per share during Q1 of current year as against ₹12.62 per share during FY26, registering a growth of 52% over previous year. On financial front, our interest cost and other expenses has marginally gone up due to increase in level of activity during Q1 of 27 as compared to previous year. Thank you very much.
Now we are open for Q&A session.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Nishita with Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Nishita.
Yeah, so I had a question on the listing of our Goodluck Defense subsidiary. So I just wanted to understand why are we not demerging the entity instead of listing it separately? Because if we are going to list it separately, how are we going to create value for our current shareholders? So just wanted to understand that.
Basically, what we think today, that company will be, now we will be going for the listing on the basis of the future numbers. And as far as for your demerger, our consultants have advised us, financial consultants have advised us for getting it listed separately in the favor of the shareholders.
Right, but the current shareholders won't get the 1:1 benefit of the company. So how is it going to create value for the current shareholders of the company?
But this current listing will also create a value of the for the current shareholders as well. As the company will move forward, it is for the benefit of the shareholders only. It is subsidiary of the Goodluck India. So shareholders of all the Goodluck group will get benefited by this.
Right, understood. And my next question is that we had a growth of around 30% this quarter. So do we foresee this growth continuing throughout the year? What kind of growth do we see for FY27?
We hope that the growth, whatever we have registered this quarter, it should sustain in the near future also.
And the margins also?
Margins, it is a range bound. What is the 30 to 35% range bound margin should be there as we expect.
Okay, understood. And my last question is on the defense order book. So currently we have an order book of around 300 crores which is going to be executed in the next 10 months. So do we have any order book pipeline where we are L1 in the orders? What if you can quantify the order pipeline for the defense?
Order pipeline is quite good. We have a good visibility. But it all depends on whatever advances we get. On that basis only, we declare the orders. But be rest assured, there is a good pipeline. There is no dearth of orders for this product right now to the company.
Okay. Understood. That is it from us. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Shubham with 3A Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hello management, am I audible?
Yes, Shubham.
First of all, congratulations on a great set of numbers. I just had a couple of questions regarding the order win from the defense segment. The company secured an order of 255 crores. However, the volume wasn't mentioned on how many shells would be supplying. So can the management first of all clarify that?
Basically, we declare this 255 crore. It is approximately 50,000 shells.
Okay. So if I compare the realizations with the order win of 52 crores versus the order win of 255 crores, the realization is almost double. So what the is the reason that we...
Different types of shells, different versions of shells. One is M107 and second, these are two different versions of shell. First is M107 and second is EFRB.
M107 would be the 50,000 shell.
Depends on the range of the shell. The first one is 18 kilometer range, second one is 38 kilometer range.
Okay, so the 18 kilometer would be the 20,000 shells per order.
Yes.
Okay, okay. And company recently clarified to the exchange that the expected ramp up would take place in H1 of FY28, if I'm not wrong, September or October of FY28. However, initially the management has said that the expansion would be completed by end of FY27. So what is the reason for the 6-month delay of the ramp up?
Basically, it is a financial closure. Now the financial closure is being done nowadays. So as soon as the financial closure is over, we will start the ramping of the production as we had said. So that is why there is a delay due to the financial closure of the project.
Okay, but we are confident that we'll achieve the expansion by H1 FY28.
We will definitely get it. It all depends on the approvals and regulatory systems, because that is a major point in this all. Whatever we plan, approvals and regulations are always important. They may take time, which is beyond our control.
Okay, and one last question would be that what can be the expected timeline on when we can IPO the different segment, if you can clarify?
We hope that 18 months from today, it should be the time. But however, again, it will depend on the approvals and the systems.
Okay, sir. I wish you the very best. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Pratik Bhandari with Art Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. Just a clarification, you quoted that defense revenue for FY27 would range between 350 and 400 crores, whereas when you alluded last time, you mentioned the range would be 250 to 300 crores, because the entire additional capacity of 250,000 shells would not get too much of time, because it would start in the next year. So can you just clarify on that?
So first of all, I just clarified that the new project will take, new project is delayed as we had declared in the SEBI filing also. Number two, the turnover what we expected this year, it is from 300 to 350 crores, and the future turnover was expected on the basis of only plant going on the stream, but it has got delayed, so it will be delayed by the month of the expansion.
Okay, and the margin trajectory would range between 30-35%?
Yes, we hope so that this margin should sustain.
Alright, and if you can clarify as to what was the quantum of defense revenue for the first quarter? Revenue and EBITDA for defense?
It was 80 crores and with the EBITDA of 38%.
80 crores? Revenue with 38% EBITDA, right?
Yes.
Okay. And just one last question. On your debt repayment schedule, you mentioned that you would be repaying around 50 crores, 55 crores of debt. Have we repaid any in the first quarter?
Yes, we have repaid 25 crores account.
And the total quantum of debt repayment is 54 crores for FY27, right?
It would be 62 crores.
Okay, so we would be paying a higher debt.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, sir.
The next question comes from the line of Shikhar Mundra with Vivok Commercial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So my question is for the subsidiary Aerospace and Defense, why did we raise funds from external investors? Why not get a rights issue in Goodluck India itself? And so that, you know, the whole benefit would have been with the shareholders of Goodluck India. And also, when you list the subsidiary, the shareholders of Goodluck India won't be getting shares of Goodluck Aerospace and Defense directly in their accounts. So how will it be beneficial for the shareholders of Goodluck India?
Sir, Goodluck Defense and Aerospace remains a subsidiary of Goodluck India. So anyhow, whatever Goodluck India will get, Goodluck India shareholders will also get. So, for the interest of the company, we feel that this company should be listed because this company has to go far. So funds will be needed, and for that perspective only, we are taking it to the public.
So wouldn't have been more sense earlier you would have got a right issue. Hello. Earlier, if you would have got a right issue, Goodluck India, and that invested that money for Goodluck Defense and Aerospace, and now we would have listed it, then the shareholders of Goodluck India would also have got shares of Goodluck Defense directly. So that structure would have made more sense, right?
Actually, there are two views. Your view is also appreciable, but our financial advisor, they have preferred this route. That is why we have taken this route.
I just wanted to understand, sir, because I don't want Goodluck shareholders will be at a discount, because when you get a subsidiary value, Goodluck, the real value of shares does not get reflected in Goodluck market capitalization. That is the problem with all these holding companies get lot of discounts. So we should not have been lost, because see, if you had a problem in raising money in Goodluck, then for all practical purpose, you should allot shares of your defense company to the Goodluck shareholders, and that, so that Goodluck defense company's benefit is also passed on to Goodluck shareholders. Otherwise, you may be holding it 80%, 70% in Goodluck, but that discounting will be huge. You say Goodluck, eventually Goodluck defense will quote as 100 rupiah mein, and Goodluck value will get value of only 70 rupees or 60 rupees proportionate to their market capitalization. And this is the problem.
I appreciate your view.
Yes, sir. See, I understand. Now Reliance also went for a Reliance Jio. Eventually Reliance Industries shareholders will get Reliance Jio shares. And the promoter of Reliance Industries will directly hold shares in Reliance Jio. So you should have that practice, no? Because your company is also professionally managed. These are all typical style of the old traditional promoters who try to control the company through their holding company.
I appreciate. So we will take it in, we will keep it in mind.
Yeah, so you keep this in mind, and that is why I am on the record, so that you realize after 2 years, when your defense company will get a huge premium, and the shareholders of Goodluck will be at a discount. So kindly consider my request. You should immediately demerge this company and allot the shares of the defense company to the directly to the allottees of Goodluck shareholders, and list that company also eventually when you go for listing.
Sure,
when you go for listing.
You.
Yeah,
no,
kindly,
no,
because I understand Goodluck is run by thorough professionals.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The next question comes from the line of Ritika Seth with Anantia Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
So, thank you for a good set of numbers in the Q1. One important question which we would like to highlight is, what is the overall, where are we today in terms of overall realization which we expected it to reach in the next 3 years at 9,000 rupees per ton? Where are we today? So that's the first question.
You want to know when we will reach 9,000 overall per ton?
Correct, correct. Overall realization in Q4, you know, we had mentioned that we were somewhere around 7,000 rupees per ton, and our anticipation forecast was about in the next 3 years should be around 9,000 rupees per ton. So what, where are we today? Where are we standing today is the general question.
in this quarter, it has not increased much. But in the coming quarters, because this quarter was impacted by the West Asia crisis, so we hope in the coming quarters, what guidelines Chairman sir had given, we will achieve it. Not an issue, because we are on the right path.
Okay, noted, sir. Second question is, in the precision pipe and auto tube segment, as well as the pipes and CR sheets segment, in these two segments in particular, what are our respective margins? Because we haven't given a margin breakdown in terms of these two segments.
In terms of EBITDA, this pipe and CR, it is normally 3 to 5% margins. And in the precision tube, it is 12 to 13% EBITDA margins.
Okay. And what about the solar engineering structures and solar?
Solar is normally 7 to 8% and this infrastructure is normally at 10 to 11%.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. What are the key risks at this point of time which you see? Do you see any input cost risks as of now with the positive developments in the geopolitical tension?
Yes, yes. Input cost risk is very high because war is going up and down. We never know when the war will start, when the war will stop. So all the petroleum products get volatile and the petroleum products are in every product. Whether we use packing material, whether we use gas, everywhere this is a petroleum. So yes, definitely it is a cause of concern. And moreover, the logistic cost, it goes up and down by this West Asia crisis. So that is a concern. And we are seized of the problem and we are taking steps to mitigate this effect to our working.
Okay. And lastly, what are the our EBITDA margins for forging sector?
In our case, it is normally 12 to 13%.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much. All the very best.
The next question comes from the line of Ronak Singhvi with Nafa Asset Managers. Please go ahead. Ronak, please go ahead with your question.
Okay. So, why is the defense segment not disclosed separately in the financial results, given its increasing contribution to the company's overall business?
The question is not audible.
Hello. Is it audible now?
Yes, sir.
So, why is the defense segment not disclosed separately in the financial results, given its increasing contribution to the company's overall business?
We have already given.
In consolidated, we have given, not separately.
Consolidated, it will come. I'm asking the segment results separately.
Yeah, yeah. It is given.
Standalone we have given, defense we have given, and a consolidated also given.
No, the results sheet doesn't have segment classification.
You see, this is only one segment, iron and steel. Even defense sector, it is fall under iron and steel segment only.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Amish Kanani with Knowise Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congrats on a very good set of numbers. If you can, there was this transaction where, you know, we have raised some 285 crores at a price of 375 for our defense subsidiary. Given that the annual report for FY, 26 is not out, there is some implied valuation that we have done for the subsidiary. If you can update us on that, sir. Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Yeah.
Can you come again?
Sir, we have raised 285 crores at a rate of 375 rupees of our defense subsidiary. So if you can give us some sense of, you know, how many shares or what is the valuation at which, you know, this defense aerospace subsidiary is valued. It's very clear that we have implied a valuation of our subsidiary and diluted. So if you can give us some sense of the valuation.
It is a simple math. We have given the amount which we are intent to raise. It is 25, and we have given the per share rate also 375. So you can easily calculate that how much shares we are
giving. Sir, in that press release, there is no number of shares given, no, sir. That's why.
Sir, it is
given. Know the number of outstanding shares of defense and aerospace at this point in time, sir, because we don't have a annual report of latest annual report of our company as well, sir.
Issue we will have, but this time we are issuing almost 75 lakh shares. You will get that
75 lakh shares. And what is the total outstanding shares of our subsidiary as of now?
Before the issue, it the outstanding number of shares was 0.91 crores
was the outstanding, and they have issued 0.75 crores.
Yeah.
Is the way.
So it,
okay.
If we are coming out after this preferential issue, it will be 5.66 total.
5.66 crores is a rupees crores or number of shares, sir?
Number of shares.
Okay. I got it, sir. Yeah, that helps at least in terms of some clarification. And sir, you know, if you can also give us some sense of the overall, you know, update on overall guidance. You've given us you know, some guidance on the revenue side for the defense. But, you know, defense as a percentage of total, how would it be? Or maybe overall, what will be the consolidated growth rate or a standalone growth rate excluding defense for the year? Because what I've seen, sir, the exports is doing well again for the first quarter. And there is seemingly, you know, EU as a region probably, you know, has started to kind of, you know, give us some sense of, you know, growth. So one, where is the growth on the exports coming? And second, outlook on exports, if possible, sir.
The growth for exports is coming both from the US and Europe.
Okay.
The outlook is positive at the moment.
Okay.
But again, depends on the international geopolitical situation, which is very much evolving on a daily basis.
I appreciate, sir. And any sense of, you know, what was the first quarter growth of exports? We can imply from the presentation, but just for the benefit, quick benefit, and whether we should assume, you know, either if you can give us some sense of the order book or a pipeline from the exports, it will help us, you know, kind of understand the growth prospects for the exports, sir.
It was around 53%.
Okay.
For this quarter, the pipeline of orders is pretty healthy for this quarter also.
Okay.
But again, geopolitical is a factor which should not be kept aside, that we have to continuously monitor.
I understand it's very uncertain. And so last question before I go back in the queue. Transmission lines are also, you know, there was a mention in one or two presentation before that transmission lines exports are also looking up. So any sense of, you know, how is that and whether EU or US transmission orders are also picking up, sir?
Basically, transmission, solar energy, this non-fossil fuel energy is getting more and more. 300 gigawatt has already been, is already coming. But the issue is power is not getting transmitted to the states or the place where it is required. So India is lagging on that. So that is why there is a push on the more and more transmission lines from the solar centers. It is Rajasthan and your Gujarat. So it is looking up, and I hope in next 3-4 years, this demand will remain up.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I have a few more questions, but I'll go back into queue. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Rahul Mishra with RTL Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Now, given that this 255 crore order has only about 50,000 shells, you will still have some capacity left for F-27, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And, sorry, I missed that.
Sir, so basically, orders are in pipeline, and this order, which we have put up of 255 crore, it is to be executed in 10 months. So it will get forwarded to next year as well. But for the capacity, what we have put up, we have the inner orders. I suppose that is your concern.
My question was that given that you have 150,000 capacity and this is a higher value 50,000 shell this thing, in case there are more orders for this year, you are in a position to take more orders.
Yes.
Okay. And secondly, given that the expansion has been delayed, would you like to restate, you know, earlier you had spoken about 1,000 crore for the defense subsidiary for 28, 800 from shells and 200 from aerospace, or do you think that number is achievable?
That number definitely, it will go forward for 6 months to 9 months. By that time, this project gets delayed. So that time will be added to our forecast, what we had given earlier.
Okay. So would you like to put a new number for FY28?
Let the expansion plan come into active execution and we will update the new plan. We will update the new numbers.
Understood, sir. And finally, one more question, sir. Any status update on Goodluck Astra so far?
So plan, land has been allotted, license has been applied. We are waiting for the same.
Understood. That's all from my side. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Dhananjay Bagrodia with Alchemy. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Dhananjay, please go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So, sir, most of my questions are answered. Just a couple of booking questions. So, what is the capex we're looking at in both entities for the next couple of years?
Capex in the defense sector, we have already given it should be almost 400 crores. And for the current, for the standalone division, standalone unit, it will be, it should be almost 100 to 150 crores.
Okay, standalone 100, 150. And so, lastly, just one more question. The margins for both, we've done a very good job of actually keeping margins stable considering how input costs have increased. Is there more scope going ahead? Because if assuming input costs are subsiding with steel prices reducing and oil and gas prices reducing, would that be significant margin improvement then? Would we go above this 10% man?
We also hope so that when this turmoil gets down, that margin should increase, but it all depends in the future. Because nobody can tell today. Today morning, what is the place and tomorrow morning, what will happen? But definitely margin should increase. You are very correct that if this turmoil settles down, so it will give a positive pressure to the results.
Okay. And would customers want any, customers would be okay with the, or would they also then accordingly cut rates for what they're buying prices? Just I'm trying to understand how it works, let's say, going ahead if your input costs are reducing.
It will be unpredictable.
Okay, fine. Sure. Thank you so much.
The next question comes from the line of Vikas with Serene Alpha. Please go ahead. Vikas, please go ahead with your question.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Vikas.
Sir, most of my question are answered, so no question left from my side.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nishita with Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the follow-up question. So I just wanted to understand, you mentioned that on a consolidated basis, our margins are going to be range-bound at 30 to 35% on gross margin level, right?
We are talking of the defense sector, where the EBITDA margins, we have told that it should be range-bound 30 to 35%.
Okay, for defense. So I just wanted to understand, like 30 to 35% margin, but in the last quarter also in defense, we had around 42% margin. And this quarter also, we did around 38%. So are you being conservative when you say that our defense margins are range bound between 30 to 35%? Can we do around 35 to 40% of margins on a sustainable basis?
Management is also always conservative. and we like to be conservative. So we will remain, we will keep this as 30 to 35, but definitely every quarter we will like to improve it.
Okay, okay, understood. And my next question is on what is the current capacity for our defense shells?
1,50,000 shells per annum.
1,50,000 shells per annum. Okay, okay. And after the expansion that you are saying that is delayed, the expansion is delayed by how many months?
It is almost 6 to 9 months it has been delayed.
Okay, so when do we expect it to come now? Like in H1 FY28 you mentioned, right?
We hope by the quarter four of this financial year, expansion should start.
And commercialization will start by?
Commercialization will again take a year.
So by Q4 FY28 commercialization should start?
Definitely.
Okay, and once the commercialization starts, what will be our capacity? Is it going to be 4 lakh cells?
The plant capacity will be 4 lakh, but the achievable capacity is always 90%. So it should be almost 3,50,000 cells per annum.
Okay, okay. Understood. Thank you so much.
The next question comes from the line of Harsh Vasa with SBI Capital Securities. Please go ahead.
First of all, congratulations, sir, on a good set of numbers, and thank you for the opportunity. So my question was pertaining to the hydraulic tubes capacity utilization. So what was the exit? Run rate in 1Q? Like, what was the capacity utilization for 1Q FY27?
This hydraulic tube capacity, now it has started ramping up. In this quarter, it has come to almost 60%, which was earlier 50%. This quarter it has come to 60 to 65%. And I hope in the coming quarters, it will be a rapid expansion. A rapid expansion in the percentage utilization.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Shashank Kanodia with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Sir, sometime back we announced a merger of both entity called Goldlock Green Energy. So can you please explain that, you know, what is the swap ratio or what are the valuations that is being merged? Any financial details of that transaction?
Basically, we have appointed consultants and valuers. So once the report comes, we will let you know. We will share with you.
Okay. Second, sir, you know, usually defense business is valued pretty high in terms of valuation multiple in market, right? Given your peers, which are already there in the stock exchanges. So what's the reason, you know, you are well poised to deliver in excess of 200% beta next year, and your pre-money IPO value, pre-money valuation at which you raise the money is roughly 1800 odd crores, 1850. So what's the reason that we have sold a stake to such inexpensive valuations, and how do you believe that it will accrue value towards the minority shareholders of Goldlock India, the listed entity?
Sir, can you come again? I could not understand.
So defense businesses are usually valued at very high valuation multiple, let's say 20 times, 30 times EBITDA, right? You are well poised to deliver more than 200 crores of EBITDA next year in defense. So that values the entity at roughly 5,000 crores of, you know, equity valuation. So what's the reason that we have sold off the stake to the external investors at such a, you know, inexpensive valuation of 1850 odd crores?
Sir, basically, what the management thinks, because defense is an area where lot of opportunities are there, but we have the limited funds. At the same time, we don't want to leverage our balance sheet. So we have opted for this because there are too many targets in the future where where we will be needing these investors. So we have opted for this for the future expansion also.
But to the minority shareholders, it seems like all the initial struggle or the risk are taken on the balance sheet of Goldlock India, whereas all the upsides have been given to the external investors.
I appreciate your view, but there are always different sorts of schools. So basically, But whatever we have, whatever people have advised, whatever investors have advised during this con call, we will keep it in mind for the future. Kunpali.
Right, because so there have been 3-4, you know, decisions at your end or some outcomes which kind of, you know, because, you know, there has been increasing capex spend on the base business. Then there is a delay of 6 to 9 months of a product which was already sold out in the market with a very huge, you know, export potential. Then there is a merger of a promoter entity with no valuations being shared with the shareholders. And now, stake sale of defense business to external investors at very inexpensive valuations, right? So you guys coming from a pedigree of IITs with 4 decades of experience in constructing what you have, you know, I think as a representative of IIT shareholders, you know, we will not want some incompetent financial advisors to destroy value in the listed entity.
We will keep in mind, sir. Don't worry. We will keep in mind.
Thank you so much. We wish you all the best.
The next question comes from the line of Sachin Chopsia with iWealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, so good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, Sachin.
Hi. So, yeah, first off, congratulations for the good set of numbers. So, sir, what was the volume for the defense unit and defense artificial for this quarter?
Your voice is sounding. Can you come again, please?
Okay. Sir, the change volume for the defense artillery shell for this quarter.
Sir, your voice is not clear. Can you...
Sachin, are you using a hands-free or... If
yeah.
That's the case, please. Yes. So, you need to be on the handset mode, please.
Okay. Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So actually I was asking like what was the sales volume for the artillery shells for this quarter?
We have given a turnover of almost 80 crores, no?
Yeah, roughly 80 crores it was.
Roughly 80 crores. So you want to know the number of shells?
Number of shells, yeah.
Number of shells, yeah. That I will have to see. I don't remember. I will have to see. We will let you know.
Okay, so what was the utilization if you have that thing?
Utilization is almost 60 to 70%, but the exact figure we have not. I don't remember right now.
Okay, got it, sir. Sir, on console level, so we are expecting like EBITDA margins to be roughly of around closely between 10 to 12% in year term, not more than that.
So this,
we are seeing upside.
This quarter also. This year, this quarter also. Our EBITDA per metric ton is 9,000 rupees per metric ton. So we have moved from the last quarter. And the targets we have given, we are saying it should, the top line should go by 15 to 20%. So we are maintaining our earlier guidance as well.
Got it. And sir, the thing, sir, by any chance, sir, we are any scheduling for the plant visit of the defense unit?
So for that, you will have to contact to our this IR and they can fix it because it has certain regulations to whom how it can be done. But you please connect to our IR.
Definitely, sir. Thank you and best of luck for the.
The next question comes from the line of Pratik Tawalkar with Smiths. Please go ahead. Pratik, please go ahead with your question and kindly unmute your line in case if you are on mute.
Am I audible now, sir?
Yes, Pratik.
Yeah. Sir, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. Sir, in our last call, you have mentioned that 14 to 15% revenue growth in FY27. So, are you maintaining that guidance? And if also possible, give the breakup of volume and value growth apart from defense. Thank you. That is the first question from my side.
We maintain our guidance that it should be 15 to 20%. As far as the volume this quarter, it has gone up by 9%. In the coming quarters, if the geopolitical conditions are set right, so it will improve further in terms of volume.
And sir, my next question is on the, you have announced that the GI pipes, suppression pipes and infrastructure capacity addition of 40 to 45,000 metric ton during FY27. So can you please throw some color on that and progress of that? Yeah, that's it.
So you want to know about the
GI pipes tubes capacity and pressure tubes capacity you have announced in last quarter of 40 to 45,000 metric tons.
40 to 45,000, that capacity is being ramped up. For the large diameter pipe, the capacity is being ramped up due to this West Asia crisis. It took some time, but now it is coming on the path, and we hope in the coming quarters it will ramp up. It will ramp up as per our expectation.
Okay, okay. Thank you. That's it, sir.
The next question comes from the line of Vrushank, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, Vrushank.
Yeah, so actually the question was a follow-up on the earlier participant only on the valuation of the subsidiary that we have considered. So right now what is happening is we are basically diluting 15% as shareholders of Good Luck India, as minority shareholders of Good Luck India, when the stake in the subsidiary is getting diluted by 15%. So while I understand and appreciate that the advisors of the company had have advised in favor of diluting the stake in the subsidiary, but if I look at it from a Good Luck India shareholder perspective, minority shareholder perspective, I would just request the management to provide a rationale on why a right issue was not selected. If it was just a financial fundraise which we wanted to do, then it could have been easily be done by a right issue at Good Luck India level, right? So while I appreciate that the management must have financial consultants who would have advised, what was the rationale in not doing the right issue and doing a stake sale at the subsidiary?
As the earlier participant also raised this question, so I have already clarified. We will keep in mind while deciding. So our interest mainly for the shareholders is fine, and we will take care of that.
Yeah, but sir, that we understand, sir. But then this transaction has already happened, and now what is happening is, say for example, the subsidiary becomes a 10,000 or a 20,000 crore company, then we end up diluting 15% right now, which effectively could mean that the shareholders of Good Luck India have diluted in favor of investors. I mean, if investors are bringing something on the table, then that is a separate issue and a separate valid point. But otherwise, if it's only a financial decision, then it does not go well with the minority shareholders of Good Luck.
I appreciate your view. We have diluted 10.5%, but
right.
Be rest assured, there are many things on the plate. There are many miles to go, and our shareholder will be rewarded. You have just to wait. We will come out with many new things in the coming con calls or the coming communications. You be rest assured, we will take care of your concerns.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
The next question comes from the line of Ronak Sangvi with Nafa Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. So, can you give the split for EBITDA margin of EFRB and ERFP and M107? As the price is doubled,
the cost also gets doubled or what?
EBITDA margins are same. EBITDA margin will remain the same.
So, the production cost for both M107 and ERF
are different.
Hello?
They are different. For every version, the cost is different. Yeah.
So what is the EBITDA margin?
EBITDA margin, what guidance I have given, 30 to 35%. I still hold my guidance for the EBITDA margin.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Mahima Gidwani with Philip Capital PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity.
I have a question on the value-added products. So, which products exactly are driving the growth in current quarter, specifically value-added products? And with capacity utilization at around 98%, how much additional growth can come from increasing the share of these value-added products before the new GI conduit and front fork tube capacities come on stream? Because in a previous call, you had indicated that it would be coming live in next 9-12 months.
So basically, capacity addition is going on only in our value-added sector, which encompasses your tubes, your precision tubes, your forgings, and infrastructure. So, what we had told last time for the GI tubes, this conduit tubes, this capacity and the front fork tube capacity, it is likely to come in next 6 months. So whatever capacity addition you will see or you are seeing, that will be in the value-added sector. Value-added, we are almost 60%, we are already there, and in the coming years, this will increase, and the legendary business, it will get reduced due to the increase in the value-added business.
Does that answer your question, Mahima?
Yes, yes. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, now you are.
Okay, so my second question is on defense side. So I was going through the investor presentation. I see we have also received license for 120 mm, 130 mm, and 125 mm shells in addition to existing 155 mm. So will these new variations also be produced in our existing capacity or the new CapEx which will be coming live?
Basically, the world demand has converged to the tune of even 90%-95% demand has converged to 155. So yes, the machine is capable from producing from 120 to 155, but normally the demand is for the 155.
Okay, understood. Lastly, on aerospace capabilities, what exactly are we currently doing in aerospace capabilities, and what would we be doing once the new capacity comes live?
Basically, what we will be doing in the aerospace and new capacity, it is for the because India, you will appreciate that India is going for C-295, India is going for AMCA and for new Rafale Indian production. So for that, an ecosystem is required. India is taking maximum parts from outside. Even HAL has to import everybody. So for that ecosystem to come, there are many new parts which we have not manufactured so far. So we will be taking the parts which are commercially viable and which have a very good market share in this new requirement. So in that aerospace, like, we will be putting a ring rolling mill. So it will make the outer body for your space rockets as well. So there are many thousands of parts for which this new machinery we will be capable of doing.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks.
We thank everybody every shareholder, every investor who have shown interest in our phone call. With regards to, I will just like to clarify, as many people have asked, with regards to our plan on Goodluck Defense, we will do what is beneficial for all our shareholders. Give us some time to discuss with our board and key stakeholders, and we will ensure what will work best for our all shareholders. We have, as far as this defense is concerned, we have lot of inquiries enough for next 5 years. However, as a policy, we do not announce till we have technically and commercially clear order. This is the reason we have announced only 50,000 piece FRP order. Others, we will let you know as the order comes in, as per our specification. Thank you. Thanks for attending.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Goodluck India Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.